There's a couple sign-up forms back there. If you would, just go back there and make sure you sign up for the things you want to be involved in. Tonight, if you need an offering envelope, Miss Jerry can get one to you. And as you leave tonight, just place your offering in the bucket, and we'll pray over that in just a moment. Hallelujah. Appreciate everybody helping us out last Wednesday. It was nice being all cleaned up and out of here. We got out of here at a good time. We're able to go out to eat even afterwards. Had a good time. Packing party's this Saturday at 10 o'clock. We need all hands on deck. The more hands we have, the faster it goes. So make sure you're here. Melissa's been up here last couple days. If you go back there, every table's laid out. Everything's in order. It's a piece of cake to do this. It won't take much. Amen. So come at 10 o'clock. We'll pack all the boxes. And I don't remember when the drop-off day is yet, but I'm sure we'll announce that on Sunday for sure. And then video game night for our teenagers and our college students. We'll have that here at the church this Sunday, actually, at 5:30. So have a good time. We'll have pizza and drinks and all that. Have a good time together. And then apron therapy is on Tuesday, the 11th, next week. And there's a sign-up form back there for that. And I forgot, baklava, is that what the thing? All right. And so come out and be a part of that. We always have fun. And then Pastor Donna's birthday is going to be next Wednesday. We'll have all sorts of stuff here and have a good time celebrating her birthday. I do not know how old she is. I think she's 30. So, right? Is that right? You're sitting here, and I just thought I'd make fun. So it's okay. Amen. And then Christmas, we got our Christmas calendar and schedules out on the email. If you get the word of encouragement, you get the email of all the events and all of that. So make sure you mark things down that's coming up. The cookies for prisoners, the ladies' Christmas party's coming up, and all sorts of other things. The Christmas plays are really coming together nice. There's two of them, big cast all the way around, and we'll have a lot of fun with that. Plus, it's not in the email yet, but it will be. We hadn't set the date yet because we had some scheduling that we had to work out, but we will be having a church Christmas party again as well. Amen. All right. Well, let's move on. Amen. As you get ready to give tonight, let's just pray over the offering right now. I'm going to get to my message screen, and we'll move on. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Put your hands on your offering. Let's believe God together. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to honor you, to put you first tonight. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that the needs we have as a church are met. But, Lord, all of our folks here at the Lord's Church, their needs are met individually as well. Their businesses are blessed. Their jobs are blessed. We thank you, Lord, their retirement accounts are blessed. Lord, that great and mighty things pour into their lives. Extreme favor, extreme blessing. We just thank you for that, Father. We give you praise for that. As they honor you, you always honor them. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that for this body of believers. We appreciate so much all of your many blessings. But, Lord, we worship you right now with our giving. And we just give you praise for that. And as we get ready to get into the Word, would you all pray with me out loud? Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears. And I expect you to speak to me right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us right now. And Lord, let it be a refresher course on how our spirit on the inside needs to be built up, especially during these days that we're living in. We just thank you for that. When our focus is on knowing you, knowing your presence, knowing your word, things are different. Our outlook is different. Our joy is different. And Lord, we just give you praise for that right now. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen, amen. Hey, I'm doing extra duty tonight. Joe couldn't be here tonight. Pastor Matthew, we were doing a new thing called absentee sound mixing. And we were back on the phone back and forth. He's looking at it through FaceTime. Said, all right, turn this on, turn that on, make it work. And it worked just fine. So Pastor Matthew, thank you. They're coming back from North Carolina. He was a good son-in-law. Went to Donna's mama's house and her dad and helped do some things there that she needed. Remember, I forgot your mom's first name, Mary. Remember to lift up Donna's mom, Mary. She had broken a bone in her leg or her foot area, and she's having to take some time to heal. And it's been a little bit of a challenge, and we're just believing for a complete recovery for her. Can you say amen? Amen. So remember that. Pastor Matthew and Eric are just past Murfreesboro in the Nashville area on their way back home. They'll be back home in a little bit here. But let's get into the Word tonight. I read something the other day and anticipating about speaking tonight. But when I saw this, I thought it was just so good. You know, we need to live intentionally. Amen? You need to live intentionally. And intentional living means you recognize that you, as an individual, you have an assignment. Amen. Each one of us have an assignment that we are to do. And you say, I don't know what my assignment is. Well, you got Mark chapter 16 to read all about your assignment. Believers shall lay hands on the sick. We preach the gospel. We tell people about what Jesus has done for us, right? But, you know, we need to live intentionally for the Lord. Intentional living begins with an awareness. Everybody say awareness. You need to be aware of the Lord, knowing that your life is not accidental. Amen. Every believer has a divine purpose. Every believer has a divine purpose that's within them. I have a divine purpose. You have a divine purpose. We have specific things that we are to do, specific assignments. And people, folks, we need to reach, to do tasks, to complete. We need to be better stewards about the things of God, about the Word. We need to be better about our relationship with the Most High. Amen. We need to know Him intimately. We need to know His voice. We need to know His promptings. We need to know when He speaks to us. There's times I wake up in the middle of the night and I go sit on the couch and I pray for a while. Because as the other day, it was at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I went and sat for a while. Just praying in other tongues. Because you got to keep your focus set. If you don't, the cares of this life get you down. You'll live a roller coaster kind of Christianity. You're up and down, and you can't live that way and stay happy. Am I wrong? No. You need to live intimately, live with purpose, live with an awareness, an intentional awareness about your knowledge of God, who He is. You know, Romans 8:28 says that we're called according to His purpose. Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what kind of works? Good works. Amen. He has good things for you. Amen. All the time. God's prepared those things beforehand for you. In the Amplified, it says He prepared these things beforehand so that you could live a good life. Or one translation says so that you can live the good life. I love that. Amen. But you know, it's all about your intentional living. We have to live with purpose. Which brings me to what I want to talk to you about tonight. And I'll close this out and set this out of my way. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to talk to you tonight about spiritual prosperity. Spiritual prosperity. Yeah, it's a thing. You need to have an awareness in your life, intentional spiritual prosperity. You know, in all the areas of your life, you got to stop and ask yourself, am I just skating by? Am I just getting by? You know, the Lord has so much more for us, like we were just sharing. So much more for your life. In fact, the Scripture tells us in John, or 3 John chapter 2, or I should say 3 John verse 2. It says here, it says, beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in all things and be in health just as what? Your soul prospers. Your soul prospers. You know, what are you feeding yourself every day? Is that prospering you or making you a nervous wreck? Is that prospering you or is it making you fearful, ate up with things? You have to feed yourself so that your soul prospers. And that's what I want to talk to you about because God wants you to walk in prosperity. Amen. And the scripture tells us, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." You know, I believe it's God's will that you prosper in all things. I believe his plan for you is to be prosperous in all the areas of your life. I believe financially God wants you blessed so that you can go and be a blessing. Amen. Scriptures tell us that. In Deuteronomy, you're blessed so that you can go further his covenant in the earth. We need to be a giver, yes. But he's blessed you so that you could be financially prosperous. You could be blessed in your relationships, as we've been sharing the last couple weeks. God's very pleased when we walk in prosperity. The scripture tells us that. And actually, the Bible tells us that God takes pleasure when those who believe in him are prosperous. There's a verse in the Amplified, Psalm 35:27. It says this, says, "Let those who favor my righteousness, my righteous cause, and have pleasure in my uprightness, shout for joy and be glad and say" what? "Continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants." Amen. Let the Lord be magnified. You know, prosperity, folks, though, is more than just money. I want you to hear this tonight. Prosperity is more than just money. I believe God wants you to have a good car, nice home, have money in the bank so you can do the things you love to do. I do. I believe that. But those things shouldn't have you. But the problem with the body of Christ is we're not prosperous in our soul. We're still living by the flesh, by feeding our soul instead of feeding our spirit. And God made you a three-part being. And you have to feed that inner man on the inside the right things so that your inner man, your spirit man, the part that matters the most, is prosperous in him. Amen. I mean, again, prosperity is not just money, but it includes money. But really, true prosperity is actually this word in the Hebrew. And if you're going to write it down, you know the word, but do you really know what it means? It's the Hebrew word shalom. The word shalom, it means nothing broken. Everything is whole. Everything is complete. That's what shalom means. But that's true prosperity in Scripture. Everything is whole. Nothing is broken. Everything is whole, complete in our lives. You know, if you read further down in 3 John verse 2, we see that God also, it's his will that we be in health. But you know, walking in good health is greater than being just healed, because one who walks in health does not need healing. God desires that his children prosper and walk in health. And I'm going to explain that in just a minute. But you know, walking in health is not just being healthy all the time, but it's being healthy prosperity-wise in our spirit. Because when your spirit man is strong in the things of God, health is the byproduct of that. It feeds your flesh. It feeds every aspect of your life. But you have to put the word in your life to be able to focus on those things. Otherwise, we focus on our pain. We focus on what we can't hear or what we can't see. You know, I put my glasses on so I can see the color of your eyes, right? But being spiritually prosperous includes health. But when I'm programmed in my own spirit man about the things of God and what his word says, my body has no choice but to operate in his health, to operate in his goodness, to operate in living that good life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hope that's making sense. You know, walking in good health is greater than being healed, because one who walks in health does not need healing. Why? Because God desires for his children that they prosper on the inside, which brings about that divine health in your life. This verse continues, folks. It says, we find very interesting here, Revelation. It says that it's God's will that we prosper and be in health. our prosperity and our health is connected literally to the prosperity of our soul. Everybody say, my soul. Your soul matters. Your spirit man matters. Amen. What's connected to health when we're feeding our spirit man the right things? It goes on. It's really interesting here, but, you know, health is connected to the prosperity of our souls. This verse says that God wants us to prosper and be in health to the same degree and in the same measure that your soul prospers. You understanding me? The same measure that you prosper in your life, your soul should prosper that way. Amen. That should actually be first, though. Your soul should be prospering first. You should be walking in the goodness of God in your soul, in your soulless life, in your spirit man. Amen. In fact, this verse says God wants you to prosper and be in health in the same degree, in the same measure that your soul prospers. And we know our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Amen. And you know, the health of your body cannot be separated from your thoughts, your words, and the emotions in your soul. That's why you must feed your spirit. Because it's your spirit man that puts your flesh under. But if you're living by your flesh, you'll walk in fear. You'll be consumed with things that aren't what's really important and what really matters. Because what's going to stand before God won't be your flesh, so to speak, but it will be your spirit. And God, you know, the Lord's going to ask us, what did we do with his word? What have we been putting in? What's the old thing, garbage in? What you put in matters in how you prosper in your soul, okay? All right. So the health of the body cannot be separated from your thoughts, your words, or the emotions of your soulless realm. If that's true, that the health of your body is determined by the prosperity of your soul, then it'd be good. It would be a great idea if we would understand what the soul is and how to bring it into the realm of God's idea of prosperity. And that's what I want to share tonight, all right? 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Apostle Paul talks about we're created as a three-part being. Amen. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a what? A body, all right? A lot of people, you hear me say this quite often, a lot of people try to live by their body, and they let their body dictate to their soul, their mind, their will, and their emotions, and your spirit man, who doesn't even get one snack a day, is pushed way down in the bottom of the list. But your spirit man should be what you feed first every day and all day long, because your spirit man needs to dictate to your body what it's going to receive, what it's going to walk in, just as much as your spirit man should be telling your mind, your will, and your emotion how you should feel, how what kind of joy you should have, and how much prosperity should be flowing in all those realms, because they matter, don't they? If you're eating right, you feel better, don't you? Isn't that right? If you get a good night's sleep, don't you feel better? Yes. Amen. So we're created as a three-part being. We are a spirit, we're a soul, and we have a body. In Genesis, we're told that we were created in the likeness of God in Genesis 1:26. In fact, God is a three-part being. The Apostle Paul told us, or the Apostle John told us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, that there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word is who? Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Amen. Your spirit is the real you, though. And I've said that while a moment ago. But when you're born again, it was your spirit man on the inside that got saved, that got born again. But your soul, your mind, your will, and your intellect, and your emotions, the Bible talks about you are to renew that, correct? There needs to be a whole lot of renewing going on. Amen. I love what Brother Mark Hankins always says, you know, there's some assembly required. It should be in church because there's assembly that's required. You can't assemble something properly if you're not putting the right stuff in. The parts don't fit right. If we didn't have the Lego directions, we couldn't build the Lego properly, could we, Wesley? That's right. You know, every block goes in a certain place. But you know, in your life, when it comes to spiritual things, you got to feed that spirit man on the inside, or other things will take precedent in your life. You'll put God on the bottom of the list because you're not aware of Him intentionally. You're more aware of what your flesh feels intentionally. You with me? All right. I got a couple points here tonight. Amen. I need to keep track of where I'm at. All right, we're good. Amen. When you're born again, it's your spirit man that was born again. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your intellect and your emotions have to be renewed. So I want to briefly take a minute to walk through what is prosperity in these three areas of your soul, okay? So let's start with the first one. Number one, your mind. Everybody say, my mind. Because it is your mind. What you putting in your mind. What you put before your eyes every day. What you're listening to with your ears. Amen. I don't remember, y'all remember Billy Duguid. We had him come preach one time here at the church when we were over in Cordova. And Billy and I were talking when he was there that time. But we had him come speak at our Rhema youth camp one summer. And he talked about driving Brother Copeland around in the car. And he had a famous radio talk show on, a host on in the van. And he went to pick up Brother Copeland, that radio talk show host. I can tell you tonight, it was Rush Limbaugh. And when Brother Copeland got in, he sat down. And Melissa used to cook for him when they were filming The Gunslinger, okay? And he liked things a certain way. And he only ate certain things, period. That's how he is. But one of the things was there was no news. And when he got in that van with Billy Duguid, Billy was just sitting around listening to Rush. Doom, doom, doo, 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 doom, doo, 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 doo. And just enjoying it. And Billy, you know, he's from Louisiana. Mmm, good. Mm-hmm. Brother Copeland got in, you know what he said? Turn that junk off. That's pretty much sounds just like him. And Billy quickly went and turned that off real quick because I don't want to hear that. Something wrong with it? No. Brother Copeland was guarding his spirit man. He wanted to feed his mind the right things. Are you listening? Why is this important? Because when trouble comes, it comes at you from the outside, not the in, right? And you get to make a decision. You get to make a choice. What am I going to receive? Because what I receive, I let that get in me, and that's what comes out of my mouth. And what comes out of my mouth will be what I'll be living in and walking in tomorrow. Because your words move your mountain, or they pull your mountain on top of you. Okay? See, our spirit man is what's renewed by God. It is our responsibility to renew our minds to the Word of God. This is done by washing our minds with the Word of God. Remember Ephesians 5:26? Washing of the Word. We have to daily read and meditate the Word. We have to daily take that Word and put it on the inside of our thinking. Why? Because that causes your mind to prosper. That causes your thoughts to be prosperous. I don't know about you, I want my thoughts prosperous. If you're not thinking right, you won't believe right. We got to think right to believe right. Amen. See, we create a prosperous mind when we are meditating on the Word. We're creating a prosperous mind that is filled with faith and not filled with fear. And what do we know about fear? Well, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, did He? I mean, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and of a what? Sound mind. The Amplified says, a calm, well-balanced, and undisturbed mind. You know, what goes in will be what comes out. You got to feed your life the Word. If you don't, other things will consume and control you and have dominion over you when God made you to have authority and dominion. Amen. Well, that's good preaching. All right? Number two, The other thing God wants to prosper in your life is your will. Your will. You know, in order for your will to prosper, you must bring your will into agreement with God's will. And where do we find His will? In His Word. His Word is His will. If you don't know it, you won't speak it. You won't walk in it. You won't talk it. When I get around people who are just born again and they don't put the Word first, first thing out of their mouth a lot of times, well, I just don't know the will of God for my life. You're holding the book. Read it. Don't wait for the movie. You got all the answers. I mean, this is way beyond the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. This is everything about life. Everything. You want to make $1 million? God show you how to do it in the book of Proverbs. You can study people's lives in the Old Testament and learn how to walk in the goodness of God in greater measure. Amen. The scripture's even clear. He'll give you creative ideas. He'll give you witty inventions. He'll show you things to come. Jesus said that about the Holy Ghost, but you won't know Him if you don't spend time with Him. See, you want to frame your will to His will. And His will is His Word. And that Word, that is what you should be speaking every day. Amen. See, in order for your will to prosper, you have to bring yourself, your will, into agreement with God's will. Being submitted alone is not enough. You must submit yourself and be willingly in a place where you set aside your own plans, your own desires, and you embrace His with joy. Amen. Remember what Jesus said, not my will, but what? Your will be done. Right? When the cup was there, Jesus said, not my will, Father, but your will be done. We have to get to that place. You know, I've said this before, but maybe it'll ring a little bit harder. Maybe I can ring that bell harder. You know, the word Gethsemane means the winepress of God. And most people won't take the time to get on their face before the Lord and call out to Him. Keep their nose in the Word. Keep their focus down and allow their will to become His will. Amen. We have to do that. We need to get ourselves like Jesus into the winepress of God and let Him deal with our flesh. Let Him deal with our stinking thinking and start thinking on the Word and not all the other things. I don't know about you, but, you know, you don't read in Luke's gospel, I guess, where Jesus told His mom and dad, I must be about my Father's business. You don't see Him, though, disobeying them, do you? He went ahead and walked with them. He knew what He's supposed to do. But one thing He did say, I must be about my Father's business. Why don't you do a top 10 list of your life of what's going on that's most important to you right now and ask yourself, is that my top 10 list in line with what God's will is for me? Make you change your diet. Make you change all sorts of things. Because you got to make time for Him if you want your will to be submissive to His. Amen. That's good. Amen. The third area that's important to prosper in. This is a good one. Your intellect. Your intellect. Luke 22:42, not my will, but thine be done. Your intellect is the third area that God wants you to prosper in. You know, a lot of people feel that education is not connected in any way to your health. But God's Word says in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of what? Knowledge. 2 Timothy 2:15 says that you are to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. And then 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is profitable. Everybody say all scripture. It is profitable. Amen. The Bible's got some pretty crazy stories in it. And a lot of fun ones, too. There's a lot of horror stories in the Word of God that kind of really shake you. Especially the last three chapters of Judges. Go read that tonight with all the lights on. Listen, you know, you need to feed your intellect. Why is this important, Pastor? Because you need to know the Word. You need to know the Word. Education is connected to your health. And it's not just what the doctor says. It should be what the great physician says. It should be what he said in his Word. You know, we cannot ignore God's Word and expect to walk in revelation knowledge concerning anything. We cannot ignore the Word of God and expect to walk in any kind of revelation knowledge concerning any part of the Word if we've never read it. When I was in school, they always told us, if you'll memorize something when you don't need it, the Holy Ghost will bring it to your remembrance when you do. You have to put the Word in for it to be coming out of your mouth, to be in your thought processes. You have to do that. Amen. You know, revelation knowledge of Scripture is given by the Holy Ghost. And to those who read and meditate the Word of God, that revelation knowledge will flow the more you are putting it first in your life. So in order for our intellect to prosper, folks, we have to meditate on the Word of God and submit ourselves to the Holy Ghost so He can reveal things to us and show us things to come, like Jesus talked about in John 16. He'll reveal things to you. He'll show you things to come. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. But if you're not building up and prospering in your own intellect, you'll miss that. You'll let the things of the world speak to you more than the things of God. And that can be dangerous, very much so, right? Amen. Which brings me to the last point tonight before we pray. The other area that you need to prosper in is your emotions. Your emotions. How many of you know your emotions can rule in a bad way in your life? Anybody? Let's just pick one. Grief. If we yield to a lot of things, that will control us. Isn't that right? I mean, even when our cat died and we had to put that one cat down, that was hard. I didn't think I would cry like that. But, man, I sure loved our vet up in Somerville. He put his hands, put his arm around me and put his arms around Melissa. And, you know, they sent us a card and said, we're praying for you guys. Our pets are special to us. And that was sweet, okay? You know, certain things can overwhelm you. I get that. But if you're not putting the Word first, the Word won't be overwhelming you. Your emotions will be overwhelming you. Shouldn't be. You want to look? You hear it? There we go. Can you hear that? All right. Your emotions, you know, you should have control over your emotions, because in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, Paul told us here that the Lord gave us self-control. Self-control. Everybody say self-control. You know, if you do something over and over and over, it becomes a habit. What are you doing that's a bad habit? Doctors will tell you, if you do something over 21 days, that can become a habit. Well, my mom told us, you got to brush your teeth or your teeth will rot out of your head. She said it all the time to us. You know, you got to brush your teeth. And now I brush my teeth usually 2-3 times a day. It's something I do. It's in my thoughts. It's in my life. You know, it's part of my emotional makeup. I got to do this. Mom said to do it, even to this day. Amen. But that's called self-control. If you got a bad habit, that's called self-control too, because you're yielding to those bad habits. That's right. But see, walking in self-control, that's a choice we make. It's a choice I make to be sad, or it's a choice I make that I'm going to choose to be in the joy of the Lord. And we all know how we get in the joy of the Lord, don't we? In His presence is what? Fullness of joy. What's controlling the atmosphere of your life? It needs to be the presence of God. It ought to be your worship time. It ought to be your time in the Word, because that gets you self-control over your emotions. And again, you know, walking in self-control is a choice, just like walking in love is a choice. Amen. A Christian has no excuse for not walking in self-control, depending on what eggs you're putting in your basket. That's a good way to say it. Whatever eggs you're putting in your basket, that'll be what speaks to you the most. We have to get a hold of ourselves. You know, in hockey, when somebody gets checked into the boards, does anybody want to describe what that is? Do you know? They slam them. Jerry, they played hockey up in Ohio. They turn that stick sideways, and, you know, somebody's going to either lose some teeth, or they're going to be slammed into the wall like you have never. We went to a couple hockey games. It's intense. It is serious, especially if you're close to the glass. When they get checked into the boards, it hurts me to watch that. Literally hurts to watch that. But, you know, self-control is you being checked into the boards. We have to let the Word be paramount in our lives so that the Holy Ghost can arrest you and check you into the boards of life. If you don't, you believe whatever, you do whatever. I don't know about you, but I want to believe what He said, because it's what He said that counts. Amen. Amen. See, my emotions are subject to me. Your emotions should be subject to you. Amen. I've heard people come and talk to me at times and say, well, I just can't control my thought life. Well, what are you doing? And you get down to the root of the problem, they've been doing a lot of things they shouldn't have been doing. Watching things they shouldn't. Clickety-click on the internet where they shouldn't. And they're having all sorts of things control their thought life, and they can't get it to stop. But it's what you're feeding yourself that makes the difference. Amen. It's what you're feeding yourself. That was the point Brother Copeland made to Billy Duguid in the van that day. It was quiet riding that van all the way back to the hotel, let me tell you. Not one word was spoken. When Melissa cooked for Brother Copeland, her and another lady, when they were filming The Gunslinger, Jesse Duplantis was there, Jerry Savelle. They were all having a good time, but they were all very serious about when it was time to just be quiet and be worshiping and be loving on the Lord and be in the Word. It was fun to have the horses and the stuntmen there on the set out in the Oklahoma desert, but it was more important to each one of those preachers that they spent time in the Word, and they had time to pray together, and they had prime time to worship together. That was a big deal. And I'm just telling you, it's not just for the preacher, but it's for each one of us individually. We have to prosper in these four areas. We have to prosper in these four areas. And we have to make exception to every one of them. If with our minds, we need to reprogram how we think and to think according to the Word. With our will, it's not my will, it's His will that's going to make the difference in my life. With our intellect, we need to grow in our knowledge of the Word, because it will dictate our health and our lives. Amen. What we believe. You know, one of the things I always liked, when I was growing up, my mom would always watch Jack Elaine. Is that how you say his name? Lelaine. You know, he's got his little jumpsuit on. And on camera and black and white TV there on the house, I was watching that, and he's in there doing all of his exercises. You know, I forgot how old he was when he passed away. It was almost 100. Late 90s. But he said he never ate sugar. That's kind of a health lesson right there.
Some of you go, got to have that sugar. Need my candy bar.
But he never ate sugar. But every day he worked out. Every day he had a routine. Every day he had a schedule. Every day he had a purpose for his life. Okay? I'm telling you tonight, every day you need to prosper in your spirit, man. Every day. Amen. Lastly, and we'll pray here. Hallelujah. Walking in self-control is a choice. Amen. Did I say that? I did. There are reasons. There may be reasons to let emotions hit you, but there should be no excuses for what I'm talking about. There may be reasons for how you feel, but there should be no excuses for not doing the Word of God. None whatsoever. Proverbs 17:22. What kind of heart? A merry heart. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. The health of your body is subject to the condition of your heart and your attitude. And let me say this, the health and prosperity of your spirit man is subject to, you hearing me? Subject to the condition of your heart and your attitude. The health of your body is subject to the condition of your heart and your attitude. Prosperity is subject to the condition of your heart and your attitude. So the next time you pray for prosperity or health or healing, examine the prosperity of your soul. What are you putting in? Garbage in? Garbage out. It matters what you're dining on. It matters what you feed in your spirit. Brother Hagin used to always say, people go out to eat and they do all this stuff. They skip church, but they only give their spirit man maybe one slice, one little speck of cheese once a day. Spiritual things need to be paramount in our lives. Priority one. Amen. Yes, we work, but our spirit man needs to be fed daily. And I'm just encouraging you tonight. There's definitely a connection for the prosperity of our soul. Remember this too, like we started with, nobody skates through life. You never skate through life in natural things, and you don't skate through life in spiritual things. Amen? Amen. If you don't know how to do something, like tonight I didn't know how to run the board, but praise God for doing FaceTime. You can't just skate by. You got to feed your spirit. Amen? Amen. All right. Hey, let's pray, and we'll get you on home tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you for your word right now. We thank you, Lord, that your word is the most important thing in all of our lives. Lord, it's your word that tells us how to live and how to walk, how to talk, how to move mountains, how to receive healing. It's your word that tells us how to prosper in natural things and in supernatural things. Jesus, you have given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And we know by the power on the inside of us that things happen when we are speaking your word, because you've given us that power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, like it says in Ephesians, by the power that works on the inside of us. Lord, we just thank you that we take time every day to feed our spirit man, to feed our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, and allow ourselves to be spiritual giants and not weak spiritual people, but strong spiritual people, mighty in spirit, taking down strongholds and moving forward in faith, forward in the things of God, reaching for that prize and that high calling in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for these things tonight, and we just give you praise and we give you glory right now. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen. Amen. Hey, if we can pray with you about anything, come up front. We'll be glad to pray with you. Thank you for your attention tonight. Hope you learned something tonight. Amen. Watch for your email. I'm going to share probably tomorrow what I started with tonight about living intentionally. I think that's important. And then Sunday, we're going to finish up with a good wife, a good husband. Melissa and I are both going to share the last part of the message that I started on Sunday. I think it'll really help you be a good forgiver, because we all have opportunities to forgive all the time. Amen. All right? Hey, we love you. Y'all have a good evening. We'll see you Sunday. You are dismissed. Bye, Pastor Matthew.